We're going to start with a comparison, parallels between the Oklahoma City bombing and 9/11, which is something that everybody has to have as a background. Chris Emery is a filmmaker and member of the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee, where he's worked as a dedicated researcher on the board of the bombing of the Murrah Building in 1995, along with State Assembly member Charles Key. He's a workshop presenter of the parallels between the Oklahoma City bombing and 9/11. Please welcome Chris Emery.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Christopher Emery. I'm a co-executive producer with OTR Films based out of Oklahoma City. It's a pleasure to be here, and I want to thank Les and the New York 9/11truth.org committee for inviting me. Also want to give special recognition to the National Steering Committee of 9/11truth.org, specifically Janice Matthews and Michael Berger. If it wasn't for their inspiration and guidance, our film crew would have been remiss on knowing a lot of facts about the 9/11 case. I started researching the Oklahoma City case back in January of 2000 and had the fortunate opportunity to meet the head of the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee, Charles Key, who was actually a representative in the State House in Oklahoma at the time. He was the only representative out of 100 in the State House and I believe 45 in the State Senate that actually saw that there was something horribly wrong with the case. Charles was voted out of office 8 years ago by, if you can believe this, an IRS agent that had no political experience. And later we found out his campaign was partially funded by members of the Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma. Well, it just so happens 3 weeks ago, Charles was voted back into his seat. And his constituents saw through all of the mudslinging and the unfortunate campaign slurs that his opponent had dished out. His opponent outspending him 10-1, and he lost by 45 votes. Charles was the victor. So we are very pleased to have him back in the State House. Without further ado, I want to just get into the presentation. We had a little bit of a technical setback here, so we're just going to show the one photo. Most of you are familiar with this. It was taken within 15 minutes of the bombing by the Oklahoma City Police Department helicopters. And it shows the horrific amount of damage. One thing our film crew discovered, that the crime scene actually encompassed over 4.5 miles. It wasn't just limited to the 2 or 3 blocks that we saw on the sound bites and segments from CNN and the international news. If you can see what is a telltale sign, and this is a correlation between Oklahoma City and 9/11, I'm going to try to draw a few here, and I'm going to get this wrapped up in 15 minutes because we have some excellent speakers following me. The horrific blast pattern that was actually emanating from inside the building, as you can see, was what they call asymmetrical. It's certainly not conducive to, at one point, blast source, which was alleged by the FBI and the Department of Justice. And I'm going to allude to a part of my presentation in Chicago. If you look at the center line of the building, and the building is facing due north, the center line, you go west of the center line, which would be to the upper right-hand corner of the photo. We found out the truck bomb was actually parked about 15 feet west of center line. The concave blast pattern was east of center line, 42 to 47 feet from where the alleged truck bomb stood, which clearly shows that there was interior ordnance in the building. We come to find out from Oklahoma City police officers and county sheriffs that they did in fact find at least 5 unexploded devices in the building on the east side, which would be on the to your left. Those were removed by the Oklahoma County Bomb Squad and taken to their gun range about 10 miles outside of town. The FBI flew in and 14 C-21 Learjets from Washington, D.C. landed at Tinker Air Force Base 12 miles southeast of downtown within 4 hours of the bombing. They took over the crime scene and they shut down the investigation. And I have this firsthand information from local, county, state, and federal law enforcement that were from Oklahoma City. What I'd like to do is just draw a couple of parallels to 9/11. I'll start out with the prior knowledge. Okay, that is pretty much identical to what we found out about 9/11. As early as September 94, the FBI's Denver field office and the Denver U.S. Prosecutor's Office knew that Oklahoma City was on a short list of cities to be targeted Fort Worth, Denver, Oklahoma City, Chicago, Atlanta, and several others were on that list. There was an informant by the name of Kerry Gagin who was given immunity from prosecution by the Denver U.S. Prosecutor's Office to actually infiltrate the group, one of the five groups that we found out that were actually involved in the bombing, to find out how far they were actually going to go with this. Mr. Gagin was in the company of at least 12 individuals of Middle Eastern descent, speaking fluid Arabic languages, different dialects, in a hotel room in Las Vegas in September of 94. He saw clearly on one of the boardroom tables in this suite a set of blueprints to the AP Murrah building. This group was definitely planning to take down the Murrah building, no uncertain terms. They charged Kerry Gagin with bringing in ordnance from Mexico, which was supplied by the IRA through Bolivia to bring to Las Vegas to supply it to these gentlemen, and they were going to use it to destroy the building. Well, they were partially successful. As you can see in the picture, a third of the building was actually destroyed. We have three very credible and unimpeachable sources on the Oklahoma City Police Department that said that there was ordnance on the east side and on the west side of the building that was unexploded. The mercury switches that were due to detonate that ordnance were damaged in the initial blast. The second set of ordnance was due to go off exactly 10 minutes after the first set. Once you're walking wounded, your law enforcement, search and rescue were in the building, they were going to be buried alive by the rest of the rubble. Fortunately, that did not happen. The U.S. Marshal's offices knew that Oklahoma City, once again, was on a short list. The ATF and the FBI also had informants in an ARA white supremacist compound by the name of Elohim City in eastern Oklahoma. They did not know of each other's informants and later found out that that was part of the problem, why this thing came to fruition and why it took place, because they weren't communicating. And this is all based on the Justice Department's own documents. Our film crew did not simply pull this out of thin air. And by the way, if I may allude to the book, this was the only book that was asked by the members of the U.S. Congress to be written on the bombing. It's called The Final Report. My very good friends, Charles Key and the other three members of the committee, spent well over $650,000 of private donations, 6.5 years of time. This book, folks, was released 3 weeks before 9/11 happened. I met Charles in the summer of that year, and I helped him with a couple of publishing houses in my alumni, University of Wisconsin in Madison. They were going to help distribute the book. Once 9/11 happened, our emails, our phone calls, nobody wanted to touch the book. We feel that if the truth on Oklahoma City would have been brought out to the American public, there's a good chance that 9/11 may not have occurred. And I don't say that lightly. Once again, all of that is based on Justice Department documents. The pursuit of the perpetrators, or lack thereof, Oklahoma City, there were at least 10 others involved, with two other peripherals, in addition to Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh. I can say without any reservation that Tim McVeigh and Mr. Nichols did not have the physical, financial, and mental capability to pull this horrific act of terrorism off. We did find that there were four different groups, the IRA. We do have connections to South American drug smuggling, as well as the white supremacist group in Oklahoma, and there were informants within the FBI and the ATF that knew this was going to come down. According to one trusted former federal law officer who's actually going to, he's consulting on the film, he said the FBI was kicking open doors, finding several credible leads and connections to Islamic fundamentalists, supplying money, expertise, and overall logistics that supported attacks identical to the Oklahoma City bombing. We have a former U.S. Congressman, Dan McCurdy, who served on a House Intelligence and Terrorist Investigation Committee that said Oklahoma City was the second largest Islamic fundamentalist hub in the United States. They had the financial and the mental and the expertise infrastructure to take this operation to the level it happened. So make no mistake about it, folks. Mr. McVeigh and Mr. Nichols honestly did not know what was going on. They were used as patsies. You want to call them useful idiots, whatever. There's quite a few labels. As of late, and some of my colleagues that are in attendance today are aware of this, we have definitive proof that the FBI knew that Mr. McVeigh was actually in, for lack of a better term, extracurricular military training at a National Guard base in the upper Midwest of the United States in August of 93. The FBI claimed he left the military in April of 92. I'm going to wrap this up here in just a minute, Les, but just want to let you know that McVeigh was going to military ballistic school under an assumed name, an assumed identity, and that will be coming out in a national magazine publication this October. It'll be released for a December issue of the magazine. So one thing that I learned from a very good friend of mine, his name is Craig Roberts, he's a retired Tulsa police officer, 18 years investigator. He was asked by the FBI to research this case. He stayed with him for a year. He recused himself from the case after he found out that the FBI was lying to him too many times. He says, I don't want to be a part of this. But he says, what you have to do, and it's direct correlation to 9/11, if you really want to find the answer to what happened, number one, break it down in the simplest terms. Number two, put the pieces of the puzzle together on the wall, and eventually you'll see how they fit together. Regardless of how erroneous they may seem or how outlandish they may seem at the time, you'll see what you can sort out, what makes sense, and what doesn't. And I'll wrap it up with, the National Museum, the Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum is actually, if you could see the Journal Record Building, just to the, you see the roof that's ripped off just to the north of the Murrah Building? That is what we call the Journal Record Building. They house a four stories of the museum, which is what we have left. It's the tangible physical evidence, the information, what our generation, what our future generations are going to find out, what really happened in Oklahoma City. I've been actually struggling with the director back and forth to actually have a face-to-face meeting with her to correct over 65 of the displays in that museum. And as a filmmaker, I go by fact. I don't have a political persuasion either way. And she's refused to meet with myself and our film crew and even the investigation committee. They refuse to actually carry this book. They don't want the general public to know the true facts of the case. Most recently, as of September 1st, the FBI has a traveling display in the museum, and I'm going to wrap it up here by reading this. The Oklahoma City National Memorial Museum is a longstanding partnership with the FBI, which is an integral part of the stories and lessons throughout that were taught throughout the memorial in the museum. Kerry Watkins, who is my adversary of sorts, said this exhibit gives us the opportunity to teach visitors about the investigation process through evidence and photos that were gifted to the museum by the FBI following their use in the trials of the co-conspirators in the case. Well, resorting to the very simple phrase, garbage in and garbage out, if you're giving people bad information, how do you expect them to make good decisions? And that is the same exact stumbling block that we face with 9/11. So I want to commend everybody that's in attendance, my colleagues here, who have taken all three phases of the 9/11 case and researched them to the hilt. I can't be more proud, and I want to say that I'm very privileged to be in your company. I'll take questions and answers later, and I hope I presented some information that's relevant to your interest today. Thank you very much.
The website?
Yes. The website for the Bombing Investigation Committee is www.okcbombing.org. And if you don't mind, Les, I'll plug the book. I'll have these available for sale after we're finished for $15 donation per person. They typically sell on the internet for close to $40. So let me know if you're interested, and I'll be happy to sell one to you. Thank you again.
What do you say about a person, part of a movement, who's been at it 11 years trying to expose the truth? 11 years. The greatest respect. And we in the 9/11 Truth Movement, especially here in New York City, know that we don't have another 6 years. True? We want the truth out about 9/11 now. We're on the crest. We're on the crest. And we can look to the Oklahoma City bombing Truth Movement as a beautiful example of courage and strength and can pattern ourselves on their efforts.